We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Greg Olson here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year NFL SundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
Levine with the runway. Levine! Zach Levine does it again!
Crossover. Levine!
Get out the way, Trae Young!
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're on the Blue Wire Network. We're brought to you by TheraOne CBD, NFL Sunday Ticket. We're brought to you by Bet Online. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here, as always, with Jason Pat. We got a special guest. It's your friendly Bulls blogger, the guy who's been running Bloggable for, 13, 14 years at this point?
No, I think it's more like 16 now.
Awesome.
Damn.
Well,
I'm 17, so July 2003. So, yeah, wow. 17 years.
Well, I would say that, like, the two people who really shaped my mindset on the Bulls would be Matt and Kelly Dwyer. So thank you for still running the site. Thank you for running it for so many years. And I think that, you know, your takes are as hot as ever. And personally, I love it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But just to start off, I wanted to ask you, like, the Bulls were such a weird franchise, even before Jim Boylan entered our orbit. I mean, the Bulls had, like, a million things that were, like, deeply screwed up about the franchise. I kind of feel like this whole Boylan thing is the weirdest thing the Bulls have ever done in the last, you know, 10, 20 years, or at least since the dynasty ended. What just, like, a bizarre situation it was with Jim Boylan. Thank God.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the proof's in the pudding. This is what got John Paxson not fired but reassigned. This is what got Gar Forman fired. Like, this was so bad that maybe it was not so much like the degree of it, or maybe it was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. But I think Boylan was not only especially bad, but that they doubled down on it with the extension in the off season. That just brought it to a whole nother level. And then I think we went into last year. I think I was on the podcast last year, and we said there was some optimism around the team. They made some, like, actually, like, sensible moves, like rounding out the roster. And, you know, there was some stuff about Boylan, you know, getting to know the guys, and all, like, he had a training camp. Like, that stuff I didn't quite buy as much. But I did think, you know, this all – I think I said at the time that all Boylan had to do was not be, like, the worst coach in the league. He could be, like an average to below-average coach, and they would look – pretty good and improved. But the problem was, he was the worst coach in the league. He was so terrible that they started out, like, fell flat on their face right away. All the weirdness with Boylan's, like, extra curriculars and the media and stuff, like, that becomes more pronounced when you're losing. And then it just got to a point where they were so bad that they not only had to fire him, but they had to bring someone in to fire him.
And I really sort of buy the fact that, like, Paxson was the driving force behind these changes because Michael Reinsdorf had quotes during the middle of the season that, like, he sort of expected everything to be status quo going into next year. Like, he seemed pleased with Garpax every time Michael Reinsdorf spoke to the media. So that lets you know, first of all, that Michael Reinsdorf is totally incompetent. Second of all, I think that the fan response to this last season honestly is what forced the change. And I think that it starts with the attendance. That's probably the biggest thing.
All-star weekend.
Then, you know, just the media hammering Boylan, hammering Paxson constantly. I think we get a little credit for that. The mainstream media does it too. Paxson called his interviews on the score interrogations. You could tell he was feeling the heat, right? And after I wrote my big fire John Paxson thing, I think it was in December of 18, someone asked him about it the next day, and he's like, well, if we don't turn it around, maybe the fans will get their wish. So I think Paxson and Foreman and everyone, probably Boylan too, all would have been back next year if Paxson didn't feel so much heat and be like, yeah, this is ridiculous. I think I need to be the one who's going to, like, step aside, because I don't know if Michael Reinsdorf was ever going to apply that level of accountability on Paxson and the entire organization. And let's be frank, that's still shitty, because Michael Reinsdorf is probably going to be the owner for, like, decades at this point.
Yes, until Joey's ready to take over. And we don't know. We don't know Joey's philosophy yet, but Michael has proven to only be, like, a complete, like, a fail son, like, guy who just wandered in here and took his dad's business and doesn't really know what to do and what's going on. If you remember when he was first, like, being brought, like, pushed out to the media more in the past year, he even said stuff like he literally was confused why fans were upset. Right. Like, he would say, why are they called Garpax? Why do people think they don't do a good job? I think they're doing a great job. Basically, like, he was just getting lied to by people to keep their jobs, and that included Jim Boylan. Jim Boylan conned his way into this job. He conned Michael Reinsdorf by basically working cheap and doing extra work, and then he conned John Paxson by getting into this whole, like, spirit and love of basketball toughness thing that's a John Paxson philosophy. When Hoiberg was fired and Boylan was brought in, it wasn't Jim Boylan who said the spirit and toughness thing. It was Paxson who said it first. And then Boylan just says, okay, well, that's what boss wants. That's what I'm going to say every time. And he just went into it and got not only had a horrible start to his tenure into a horrible rest of that season, he somehow got an extension, which, I mean, at the time, it was just like we were all – I mean, yeah, it was assumed, like, yeah, he would get a raise by being a head coach, but why give him extra years on his contract? The thought at the time was, well, it wasn't a lot of money, so it didn't really matter if they wanted to fire him. But then we saw this year that maybe that was part of it, that's why they were potentially going to keep him out, was because of that even meager money for a head coach. It still matters when it comes to the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely does. So I was looking at this firing, and the column that you wrote, Ricky talking about the hot takes, the column you wrote basically earlier this week, which we're going to give you some credit here for spurring the Bulls into action for finally firing Jim Boylan. And you basically wrote a column that your headline was long, but the tweet was basically fire Arturas Karnišovas, which I'm going to – one point here. I've been saying his name, Arturas Karnišovas, for like – since he was hired, because I looked up some videos, I thought that's what it was. I had a Twitter follower tell me today that it's Karnišovas, and I went back and looked at some other YouTube videos, and I believe that's how Michael Reinsdorf called him, and that's what Casey Johnson did, like a one-on-one with him a while ago. That's what he called him. So I guess now I'm going to call him Arturas Karnišovas and make sure that that's right. I don't even know if that's actually right, but I'm gonna roll with it for now. So you basically said fire AK, and it was just a hot fire take. A lot of people were very mad about it. I can't say that I totally agreed with it because I didn't want to go that far, like, because I've heard good – I mean, I guess you always hear good stuff about guys who just get hired. I know you like to make a point of that, like no guys ever are, like, poorly regarded around the league. But I wanted to give him a chance, and, like, while I had been losing patience about this whole Boylan thing, like, I wasn't going to go the full nuclear that you went. So just talk about, I guess, your mindset with writing that column. Why did you do it? Why did you have that take that, like, Karnišovas was just doing a terrible job, and that he was just another, like, Bulls lackey.
We can go into how he's redeemed himself now. But at the time, as recently as a few days ago, before this Boylan firing, it wasn't even so much like I wanted Karnišovas fired, because obviously the practicality of that didn't make sense, because they would have just hired someone like him. Right. It was more like, why is he here if he's not going to do this? What was the point of hiring Karnišovas if he's doing exactly what John Paxson would have done, which is keep the status quo, keep Boylan, do this completely unnecessary evaluation period that never made sense. It still doesn't make sense now. I don't care what, like, he said at his press conference saying that, you know, it was because it was technically the end, the morning of the last day of the regular season. Like, that doesn't hold water at all. And, like, to the beat writer's credit, like, they tried to follow up on that, and he has been very, like, curt and, like, non-committal and saying anything so far. We'll see if that continues through the offseason, but so far he's been very, like, close to the vest and not answering many questions, which, you know, that's fine as long as he's doing, like, the right things. But up until then, he was saying nothing. He went, like, radio silence for 9 weeks, and he was doing nothing, too. He came in, fired Gar Foreman, great, and did a couple minor moves in the personnel side. So they got a couple executives. They let a couple go due to lack of contract extensions. So, but then, like, Boylan was still out there, and it made no sense for why Boylan was still here. It was one of two options. Either he really felt like either Karnishmas was telling the truth and saying he needed to evaluate Boylan in person with practices, which if that's the case, then you hired the wrong guy. So that's why he should have been fired, because if he can't evaluate Boylan, like, based off of Twitter, he can, that's enough right there. Just watch the game tape, find out what happened with this Bulls team. Or it was because ownership was telling him, you know, let's give Boylan a chance, which then implies that he's more like a stooge who doesn't have full autonomy, even though we've been told repeatedly by reporters and by Karnishmas himself that he has full autonomy. Well, if you have full autonomy, you would want to fire Boylan immediately. Any delay in that is not autonomy. That means you're doing what ownership is suggesting. So that's why I was just getting tired of it, because it wasn't even like a firm timeline from my perspective, but I looked up and it was like, you know, okay, the first couple of months he's not in Chicago. That makes some sense. I think he could have fired Boylan over Zoom just fine.
Yeah.
Say he has to get in the building and talk to him. Like, just a perfunctory, like, I want to get to know you before I let you go. I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me. I don't understand how that is that treats him better. I don't see how the Coaches Association, like, cares that Boylan was giving, like, this, like, totally, like, perfunctory fake evaluation. But, okay, but why do you need 9 weeks and 9 weeks waiting for organized activities? So I think that was part of it, too, is that Karnishmas never really literally said, I need to see him in practice, but he kind of said, implied that, yes, he needed to see Boylan in action, you know, in some kind of organized setting to fully evaluate him, which, again, that's ridiculous.
What are you going to learn?
What are you going to learn? And you're not going to have that opportunity for anyone you hire in the future. So it's not like you're going to, like, look at a candidate and be like, okay, I'm going to bring him in for a few weeks to have him work out with the fellas and run a practice, and then I'll decide. So why does Boylan get afforded this luxury? So that's why it was just like, either he doesn't know what he's doing and actually thinks Boylan is worth keeping around, or he knows it, but ownership told him not to, and he's going along with it. So at the point of, like, 9 weeks of him not saying anything either to anybody, fans or the media, about this, I was just like, what is the point of having him here? So I just kind of broke.
What would you say you do here, basically? Yeah, because, like, yeah, I mean, I understood the patience as well, and, like, I said, we've been ranting on this on this fucking podcast for forever now. It just got to a point where it's like, why? There was, like, the second bubble talk, and, like, but like you said, like, what are you gonna learn from Jim Boyle and, like, coaching, like, Adam Makoka in a second bubble? Like, nothing, absolutely not. Like, you talk to the players that reporting from, I think, Cowley, our guy Cowley, like months ago, about how the players, like, hate him. Like, that was a long time ago. Like, so it definitely was just very strange that it took so long. I mean, maybe they literally were just waiting till the end of the season. But I think part of it might have been the ownership thing, like, because I think it was reported, like, ownership and, like, John Paxson, they love Jim Boylan, and they told Karnishmas that, you know, just give him that evaluation. And I guess he, like, just really took that to heart, I guess, is, like, the kindest way you could put it. Yeah. Maybe.
Honestly, that's a bad sign. So hopefully it's just the case with, for whatever reason, Boylan had this spell over them. I mean, we have to be kind of wary of, like, Bulls coaching hiring practices, even when usually they don't do a search at all, but even when they've done a search, it's gone on, like, way too long, and there's lots of weird stuff going on, like when Mike D'Antoni was going to be hired, and then Doug Collins after that, and then ownership stepped in and kind of, like, prevented it, like, at the 5-yard line from happening. It's, like, lots of weird stuff can happen. So we'll have to see, like, And part of it is, so we've seen how Karnishev has treated this Boylan firing. It does kind of inform, like, okay, maybe there's going to be some weirdness with a new hire. Hopefully not, but I definitely don't think it's the case where I've read, okay, we have to take Karnishev at his word, so now the process is starting now, and it's going to be a deliberate, like, patient process. Like, what? This was, like, this process for Boylan was not, it didn't make sense at all, and he lied about it. So let's see what he does with this coaching search. I'm not automatically assuming he's going to do it the right way because we haven't seen him do it the right way, and he hasn't been a lead executive, and the Bulls historically have done these really poorly.
I got to say that, like, I don't really still hold it against him, though. Now that Boylan's fired, it's like, good, he made the obvious move. Super easy first test to pass. It took way too long, but I don't really think the Bulls lost too much by waiting, although I do think all the criticism was fair leading up to it. So I do have some faith for him to run a decent coaching search now. But just to go back to your story, like, people got really mad at you, Matt, and I always think that that's a sign that you're doing something right, because you were just telling hard truths there, and you were doing it in, like, kind of a way that was bombastic and a little bit over the top. But, like, yeah, if Karnishev can't fire Boylan, then what is he doing there? And really, like, instead of getting fired, he should have just quit, right? Like, if you're in Karnishev's position and you're telling ownership, I want to fire Jim Boylan, and they won't let you, I mean, honestly, I think that would be grounds for him to quit. So I love the take. It's good when people get mad at you. I think part of what made this so frustrating was, like, the reporting around keeping Boylan was just so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, the one Casey Johnson article where he's like, well, if he fires Boylan, then the clock starts on him. It's like, what? The clock's already started. You hired him to fix this train wreck. So, like, that should be the first thing you should do, because you want him to fix the train wreck. And my point here is that I think that one of the biggest things that Karnishev is going to have to do in this role, Matt, is advocate for himself. Because, you know, there actually is a new voice and a new face of the franchise for the first time since Michael Reinsdorf's been with the franchise, basically. So I think he needs to get in Michael Reinsdorf's face and advocate for the things that he wants. And if that's, you know, offering a big contract to an established head coach, or, like, hiring more player development people, or more scouts, more salary cap people, more front office guys, more analytics people. I think Karnishev's biggest task in this role is just getting in Michael Reinsdorf's face and changing his mind when he, you know, is hesitant to invest more in the franchise.
Yeah, and that's still something. So the Boylan thing's been taken care of, and yes, agreed. Like, this is fantastic, unequivocally fantastic news that it got done. I don't hold it too much against them that it was a weird process. But, you know, we still haven't seen more front office additions. They were promised, like, a larger development staff, and all they've done is lose guys off. They lost Sean Respert off the development staff. He was their one person, a part of player development, and he's gone, and they haven't replaced him. So you have to think if part of that might be because of ownership meddling and saying, like, we're not going to be, like, outlaying these contracts to people before we know. I don't know what they're waiting for, like, you know, what next season's going to be like, basically. So, I mean, that's still something that's another thing, not just, like, just beyond Boylan, which was such, the thing with Boylan is it was such an obvious move that it wasn't like Karnishev came in for a middling team that was kind of disappointing, and they had an established coach who wasn't very good. Boylan was, like, clear cut the worst coach in the league. He was mocked by everyone, including his own players. So, like, that was part of it. It was like, if this can't get done, like, what is he even doing here? But adding to the development staff, like, that's still something that he hasn't done that we're still waiting on. So it'll be interesting to see, especially, like, we're heading into draft prep and he has, like, holdovers from, like, Iowa State and John Paxson's brother in the room with them. Like, that's kind of not good. That's not a good sign either. And I think, you know, you brought up the point about the media reporting around him. And I think that did inform a lot of my, like, anger towards this, was that at a point in the beginning, we were kind of, because Boylan wasn't fired, so we were trying to rationalize, like, why. And there was a vacuum of information where Karnishev wasn't talking about it, so we were all just kind of trying to figure out, well, what could the possible reasons be? And then, of course, it came into, oh, maybe it's ownership meddling. And then KC was actually the one who was saying, like, no, let's take Karnishev at his word. He's going to be deliberate and have to evaluate Boylan in person. And I thought, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe we should take Karnishev at his word, and his word in the case he doesn't know what he's doing. Because that's what all he was saying was stuff that was saying, like, I don't know what I'm doing. If it was the case where he was just placating ownership, you know, at least that's a bad answer too, but at least it doesn't mean he's an idiot. So that's what I was trying to, like, get to, is like, okay, if we're supposed to take Carnivorous at his word, like, this isn't going well.
Like, what do we think, like, empowering? Like, that was what something Casey would always talk about. What was empowering Jim Boylan? Like, what did that mean? Like, obviously, like, you talk about, like, draft prep because that's the lottery's coming up. Like, was he, like, what was he doing? Like, was he just, like, was having Jim, like, do, like, a ton of stuff that he was going to, like, listen to? Or was, like, was he just basically, like, faking it this entire time? Like, I would love to know what empowering Jim Boylan was.
And I'm sure he wouldn't answer if he was asked this, but, like, if there was going to be this, like, loser bubble, was Jim Boylan going to coach that? Because if that's the case, to me, that's like a fireball offense. Like, Jim Boylan should have been nowhere near the team. The season was over. Any, like, loser bubble would have been a glorified training camp. Like, the prep for next season, there's no reason to have Jim Boylan lead this thing. So, I mean, timing-wise, like, maybe they found out that, okay, this like, backup loser bubble isn't happening. That hasn't been official yet, but maybe they are, like, starting to figure it out that maybe that's not happening, so then they could just let him go. But honestly, if they were going to have him lead that, oh, man, that's really bad. And they got kind of lucky with the – in that they didn't lose anything in this timeline because there was a coaching search that happened.
Yeah,
the Knicks did a coaching search. They hired Tom Thibodeau. Luckily, by some fortune, maybe they knew all along, but Thibodeau was like the one guy they weren't going to hire, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, there's still like candidates were like Chris Fleming was interviewed, like some guy in your own staff was being interviewed, and, like some of the guys that they're targeting have already been talked to by the Knicks, so that's not like good. So there was like some kind of timeline on this. Now with more jobs opening with the Pelicans hiring Alvin Gentry. So, now it's like, okay, they're starting their search. We have to start our search. Again, I'm, like, not believing Carnivorous when he says, like, our search starts now. I'm hoping, you know, he has a ledger of people that he's looking through that he knows what he's looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we start talking about some more of that, let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on all your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams or your favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv. Promo code is BLUEWIRE.
Tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, just simply making it through each busy day. Everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore, so everyone can benefit from TheraBody CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Wersland, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with the revolutionary Theragun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraWand to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraWand tests their products 4 times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the United States, and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine and the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. And now through Labor Day, that's Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. You got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. So buy one, get one free at Theragun.com/BlueWire. That's only until Labor Day. So go right now to Theragun.com/BlueWire. We are back. Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We got your friendly Bulls blogger on from bloggable.com. We are talking about the firing of Jim Boylan and Arturis Karnishevich's process for doing that and all that kind of weirdness and all that. Matt, was there any other things that you took away from Karnishevich's his press conference or looking ahead candidates? We're going to talk about some of these candidates that are on the list. I know some odds just came out. Anything else before we get into these candidates that kind of struck a fancy with you or anything that you think is a reasonable or a good takeaway from this press conference?
Well, I just smiled again when you said Jim Boylan got fired. So I was just I remember it's like that's right, he got fired. And you know, they say you don't want to celebrate someone getting fired, but I do. I celebrate Jim Boylan getting fired. I celebrated all weekend. I loved it. He wasn't even like that nice of a guy, and he was kind of like me, like played the media like they were morons and tried to lie to him all the time and constantly like switch his stance on things. So, you know, screw him. I don't think he definitely won't be a head coach ever again. He'll probably be an assistant somewhere, maybe, but I mean, like with a lot of these Bulls guys, it's like we're not going to see him. They're like totally overpromoted. Like Gar Foreman's I haven't heard anything about the Gar Foreman market, as I call it, the Garkit, where he is in demand as a scout. That's what Casey Johnson said. He'd be in demand. I haven't heard it, but we'll see. Anything else? I think part of it is, I mean, we're talking about the media probably too much, like considering like the important thing is Boylan's fired and they're looking for a new head coach. But I think it is interesting in that the media, the Bulls like beat reporters, like clearly they do not have like inroads and sources into this new administration like they did with Carfax. So whatever we got in the past like 4 months from those guys, I mean, it was just proven wrong. And I mean, that's something we have to like be wary of like going in the future when we start getting like rumors about what the Bulls are looking for or candidates or who's coming in for interviews and where they're leaning. Like we can't really trust a lot of it because they like Karnišević has played it pretty close. And like, I guess that's to his credit in some respect. But we learned in this time with Boylan, like they were saying all this stuff about Karnišević needing more time and not wanting to start his clock or potentially like building equity or like using next season as just like a total like trial period, like basically throwing away an entire season. Like that's Garpax logic. So I'm glad that Karnišević hasn't proven to be that way so far, but it'll be interesting to see like when we start get reports from the local beat, like how much can we actually trust of what they're getting, or if what they're getting is still from Paxson and Reinsdorf who are thinking like the way the Bulls usually do.
So one thing I'm wondering with this next coaching search, not even going so much into the names, but just what are the traits that you want in the next Bulls head coach? Or like, you know, what if the Bulls were to do an actual coaching search, interview a few guys, let's say it doesn't drag out super long, like what are some things that you're looking for on the resume that would make you think, all right, this is a good enough hire?
Yeah, and this was something that Karnišević was asked in the Boylan firing. He punted on that question. He wouldn't even commit to say what kind of coach he wants, which is pretty interesting. I wonder how long that'll last where he just won't say anything, but we'll have to see. Or maybe GM Mark Eversley will start like taking more of a point in like what they're looking for. But what I would be looking for, I mean, I would just hope that price isn't a concern. We don't want to get like a total retread. It'll be super expensive. But I think like potentially like say Mike D'Antoni gets fired, like would that be someone who would be available? I'm not even sure I'd want him, but I would at least want the Bulls to consider him and not write him off as someone who's going to be too expensive. So that's first of all, it's just cast a wide net in terms of like the caliber of coach you're looking for. It doesn't have to be a first-time guy just because that's the way you've always done it and because you have like this young team that needs development. Maybe like a recent former player is what's best. I just don't believe it should be that way because you're trying to like save money on the coaching side. Historically, we know the Bulls have always hired first timers, pretty much exclusively, except for like Scott Skiles was someone who had a prior job. But a lot of times they get guys who are hungry, they work cheap, and that's what they want in their coaches. So we'll have to see if that's like an organizational philosophy or if Karnišević feels that way as well. So that's the first thing. I mean, in terms of playing style and personality, I mean, if they want to hold themselves to what they've said, they want it to be a players-friendly environment where, you know, a player's coach, basically. And that doesn't have to necessarily mean that, like, Zach LaVine's calling the shots or whatever, but just to have it the fact where the guys aren't, like, openly mocking them. So
revolting?
Yeah, like a mutiny and then just, like, apathy towards them. So, I mean, I think a lot of what happened with Boylan is, like, he sounded like an idiot, and then he was an idiot. So then it made it to where his performance was so bad. Then you start to look deeper at like what he's saying and be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's part of the problem too. Is like I want someone who like doesn't sound dumb, but more importantly that they're not actually dumb. So I think a lot of what happened last year was I think the players played hard for the most part actually, but I think they saw like how poor Boylan was as a tactician, and that kind of like lowered their faith in the whole operation. So I mean, if someone who's just like prepared and knows what to do, like Tom Thibodeau didn't play in the league, he doesn't have like that cachet as a former player, but he was insanely prepared and he got results. So the fact that Boylan like couldn't get results, then you start looking back at their lack of preparation and just like sounding dumb and saying stupid stuff, and just being like a total like blowhard meatball. And just, and so is it too much to ask to just have a coach who's like competent and not, doesn't sound stupid? So if so basically like not Mark Jackson. Because he sounds like an idiot and he's a bad coach, so that would be a bad hire. But I just want someone who's just who sounds capable, and then the players will buy in if they actually like prove their worth a little bit.
Dude, the Mark Jackson thing is always crazy. Like, literally every time there's a damn like whatever coaching search, any team, you see Mark Jackson's like name and mentions, and it's just like, do you people realize like how like just the talk about weird? Like I guess it would fit in with Bulls being weird as hell. Like. How the Mark Jackson thing went in Golden State, like, obviously he gets some credit, I guess, for developing some of those guys, I guess. Like, they were obviously good, and there was, like, a defensive identity, but, like, all the weirdness around him and, like, all his, like, religious stuff and, like, demon. There's, like, stories about demons and, like, Harrison Barnes and Festus, like, the weirdest shit. So it's, like, no, not like, Mark Jackson's not being blackballed. The Bulls should not hire him. I don't know. I think it was it the Goofy Bulls Talk Twitter account did like a who should the Bulls hire next, and I think like his name was on there. I was like, was that a troll job? Like,
I think, are you, yeah, like, I think that's part of it, to be honest. So again, it's like it's both things. Whether you saw, if Mark Jackson like was this like lunatic, and but he like won games, and like that would be like more or less okay. I want someone who could do both. And, like, even, like, Fred Hoiberg said the right things, and he seemed like he knew what he was doing. He just couldn't get the players to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of it, too. Just make sure you get a guy who players will listen to. I think they listen to someone who's competent and prepared, but you need a little bit more, because I think Hoiberg was competent and prepared, but he just couldn't get through to them. Whereas maybe a first-time coach who was, like, a recent player, like Hoiberg, but just has a better – I don't know, a more forceful personality, or just something that where he's more relatable to the players than playing like 90s comedies on VHS. Then we can, you know, then we're talking about something. Like in terms of like playing style, I mean, that I'm not like too like concerned about. I mean, like obviously Kardashian came in saying what everyone does. It's like, we want to play fast. We want to share the ball. That's like what every executive and every coach says, except Jim Boylan. But I think most, that's what they want. And that'd be great. If they get a guy who can, you know, have a fast pace, like sharing the ball, great shooting team, like, you know, that'd be fantastic. If I don't think they're gonna hire someone who's like a slow it down defensive minded coach, but if they were, like, that's an acceptable way to play too. It's just like, I just want someone who's competent enough to get the players to buy in.
Curious, like, how good do you think the Bulls' current core is? Do you think it needs to be like totally torn down and rebuilt again? You know, do you anticipate there to be like a Zach LaVine trade or like a big name move this offseason? I'll say, me personally, I don't, especially given how he handled the Boylan situation, where, you know, it was quote unquote patient evaluation for literally the worst coach in the league. A baby knows that. So I'm just curious though, like what are your thoughts on the current state of the quote unquote core? The Bulls.
Yeah, I'm like not a huge fan of the core or any like current players. No one's untouchable, obviously, and I think Karnišević feels that way too. We'll have to see, but I do think, whereas Boylan didn't deserve any evaluation and it was ridiculous, the group of players, they need some time under a non-Boylan coach to like see what they have. Because I think it would be worst of all in where we'd have like the past couple of years, where every year at the end of the year, John Paxson would call him and say like, well, we don't know what we have because we can't, they're not on the floor enough. And like, we're not performing well. It's like, which is like, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. But I think they do need time out there under just a competent coach, because I think part of it is like, you have to have the proper evaluation with the least amount of like variables. So Boylan was a variable, and he basically dragged everyone down with him. We don't know how good some of these players are. Now, I think some of that could cause them to be overrated in a sense, to where they're thought of as, you know, they're like these diamonds in the rough because they just haven't been like fully developed and coached, when some of it is like just a lack of talent overall. I don't think, like, in terms of like young cores, I think the Bulls are actually pretty far down there, but they can't really do anything about that now through like trading and signing guys. They have to get their value back up
Or right,
least,
yeah.
If not back up, get it correctly assessed. So at least so they know what they have. I mean, it would be nice if they had someone who could, who would have done that already to, like, okay, we know Lauri Markkanen is not this good, so let's, when people say, like, oh, Lauri Markkanen's value can't go any lower, oh, yes, it can. If he has another bad year and he's approaching free agency, his value will be low. So if they actually thought, like, Lauri is this type of player, then yeah, then trade him now. But I think they do deserve a chance to, like, have a season together, or, you know, half a season together before the trade deadline to see what they have in some of these guys, and then kind of, you know, make a choice at that point. Either you're going to try and parlay all these guys into a frontline player, or tear it back down and start getting picks and start taking on bad contracts or picks and, like, rebuild your assets. Basically, I think the 2021 offseason, while, you know, we think that's like a joke, like all the previous 20XX plans
in
Bulls history, I mean, there is something to be said about having a team basically like the Nets. So, like, they got Kyrie and Kevin Durant because they were, like, perceived as this up-and-coming team with a good structure. And that's what the Bulls, like, don't have. They are more on the Knicks side, where they just have cap space and nothing else. So I think it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to have all this cap space in 2021. But obviously it takes more than that. It takes, like, a whole structure and some young pieces that players will be excited to play with. So they need to get LaVine, Markkanen, and Carter, like, these guys to actually play under a decent coach to see if they're good enough to entice a star to have them play around this star player. And if that doesn't happen, then you got to tear it down and basically try to get those guys again. Basically, like, okay, we're going to try to get assets through the draft again, because these guys that we got from the Jimmy Butler trade and that rebuild, it didn't work out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I wrote something at Bloggable about Carter and Markkanen, because last year we heard that, oh, maybe those two guys were, like, the untouchables on the roster. And now, after just, like, I don't want to say disaster. I guess Lara's year was a disaster. Wendell, I think, showed some things, but even, like, offense, there was no development there. And now it's definitely one of those situations where I feel like you would like to see them with a new coach, because we heard Lowry complain about his touches, because he made that comment about how Boylan told him to, like, well, just get rebounds, and then you'll, like, bring the ball up the court, and then you'll get touches that way, which is, like, absolutely absurd. And then obviously we saw Carter just, like, was basically reduced to, like, a garbage man role on offense. Like, he really was not used. I know Ricky has mentioned, like, Bam Adebayo as a possible, like, just the way that he used him as, like, whatever, like, the fulcrum of that offense from, like, the post and, like, using his playmaking skills. Like, it would be nice to see a new coach with those guys to hopefully, like you said, build their value back up. I mean, obviously we know he did not like Boylan. I've been waiting to see if he actually reacts to anything. Like, I'm not sure how much better he can be. Like, he obviously had a career year this year. I don't know if he's hit his peak or if, like, now would be the time to trade him. But I tend to agree with you that they should probably get an evaluation. I guess if somebody does put, like, a great trade offer, again, nobody's untouchable. If someone does put a great trade offer on the table for these guys, you might as well take it. It's like, what are you losing at this point? They've been dog shit for 3 years now since they traded Jimmy. But, yeah, I mean, ideally with the new coach, sure. I'd like to see at least, like, some part of the season. Obviously, we have, like, no idea what the hell next season's going to look like at this point. There's everything still up in the air, so that's just kind of weird. But, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you guys that I don't expect a big move, but I guess who fucking knows? Like, there's just so much uncertainty, I guess, and we really don't know what Karnišević is thinking at this point.
Yeah, you just have to position yourself to be ready, because every year a star is unhappy, or a young player is approaching free agency and they want to move on, and he's not going to resign or something, and you have to be ready with not only, like, pieces to potentially trade, but, like, a structure in place to actually, like, want that player to go there. So, I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to, like, have some kind of semblance of the team that's perceived as up and coming, not just them, like, saying we're up and coming and we're going to challenge for a playoff spot and then totally bail on that, like, quarter way through the season. I mean, they not only have, like, potentially a competent coach coming in, like, an upgrade in that position, but they do have some good, like, veterans surrounding these guys to, like, help facilitate growth. And hopefully they'll get a real player development staff, and we'll start to see, like, these players either will be good and the players will want to play for them, or they can be traded for, you know, better players.
Speaking of those veterans, I will bring up that Tomas Satoranski, I think, is the first guy I've seen comment on the Boylan firing. He's been talking, like, a decent amount over overseas, and here's his quote. It was,
I think that was to be expected, or I expected. We have a new front office which wanted to change a lot of things, so I had the feeling that they would want to change the coach as well. It took quite a long time, but when it happened, it didn't surprise me. This decision is a right step. Our very young team needs someone who has lots of NBA experience and knows how things work. At first, I assumed Chris Fleming would be one of the candidates, but now I think they will want to bring in an experienced coach, which I guess is interesting that he thinks that they're going to bring in an experienced coach. But it was also just kind of funny to just read that comment and be like, yeah, like this was the right move. They need to get rid of him. Because he had been kind of like waffling on, like, he's like, you know, like Boylan does some goofy shit, but, you know, I kind of hope he's back. I think he was just playing it nice. But
yeah, and it was interesting that there was no players gave like a full-throated defense.
Right, yeah.
No one was out there saying, like, we got to keep this guy. I love playing for him. Like, we're on the right path. The only person who was selling that was Jim Boylan himself.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because like they asked Zach and Thad Young, I think, like a month or two ago, and they were like, they were very diplomatic about it. Obviously, Daniel Gafford basically shit all over him in that video. Saturansky said some stuff, but wasn't really like full, like an endorsement, really. And we know other guys as well. I mentioned the marketing thing. Carter at like All-Star basically said he didn't like him at first, then he kind of did. I'm pretty sure he knows he was a joke. So, like, the whole team just was like, this is the right move. Everyone knows it. It took a while, but finally it happened.
I will say one thing I agreed with. Me and Jim Boylan agreed on one thing, and that's that Denzel Valentine's trash. So we had that in common, and he was right on that. And a lot of the other guys who are more, like, key members of the team, if you don't have them bought in, I mean, that's not a good sign. And especially because the Bulls – it's not like the Bulls had, like, star – players who can like sway this thing. So like the fact that he couldn't get like young hungry players who are playing for like their next contracts to defend them, like that was obviously the writing was on the wall there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to return to this coaching search real quick before we wrap up here. I teased that there are odds out right now. So I want to get who you would think would be the best money here. Just going to read through these real quick. We got Ime Udoka as the favorite at 5-2. Adrian Griffin's at 3-1. I don't know if that's legit. We like those rumors that are out there, like from his ex-wife, disturbing allegations. Like I don't know if that's going to push the Bulls off. I'm sure hopefully will do their due diligence there. We got Kenny Atkinson at 7-2. Tyronn Lue at 4-1. Van Gundy at 6-1. That'd be hilarious. I mean, they're not going to hire Jeff Van Gundy, but J. Kidd 7-1. Wes Unseld Jr. 7-1. Darvin Ham 8-1. Mark Jackson 9-1, Becky Hammon 10-1, and then we have Scottie Pippen at 33-1, MJ at 66-1, and Phil Jackson at 100-1. Go put some money down on Phil Jackson to be the Bulls coach. So out of these odds, what do you think would be like the best bet there? Or I guess who do you think? I guess if, in general, also who do you think would be end up getting hired?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys with the best odds do make the most sense. I mean, but part of it is again, like we're just trying to. I think that the reporters are just trying to glean who Karnišević has worked with before.
Yeah.
And, like, so, I mean, but we have no confidence that you know, Ime Udoka has been reported, right? But we don't know that these reporters have any insight into what Karnišević wants in a coach at all. So, I mean, I would think he's good odds for a reason, but we'll see. I mean, seeing names like Jason, I swear, like, Jason Kidd's out there just so an executive can, like, float out that they're going to hire Jason Kidd. So then when they don't hire Jason Kidd, they're just like, the fans are ecstatic. Oh, we didn't hire Jason Kidd.
Mark Jackson, I feel like it's the same way.
Yeah, same way. And I think it's kind of.
And Gundy, too.
We have to say, like, maybe that was part of this Boylan firing timing is that maybe he was. Maybe we should give the beat writers some credit, and Karnišević was leaking, like, okay, like as a trial balloon. Maybe we're going to keep this guy around. And there was such a fan revolt, including a certain influential tastemaker who has a blog getting on them, that maybe he's like, okay, I really can't do this. Or he showed. Reinsdorf and all the replies to their official Twitter feed, like, okay, we cannot keep this guy boiling. So I think that's how Jason Kidd would come up in a name, just as a way to throw people off and make them happy with whoever they hire. But yeah, I mean, like some of the names we've heard reported, assistants, I think it's David Vanderpool.
Steven Silas is another one.
Steven Silas, Darvin Ham. I mean, so in an old regime, what I would do is I would look at their coaching history and find out if they worked for Tim Floyd or if they worked for someone who worked for Tim Floyd. So if they worked for Larry Eustace or something. That's what I would normally do. Right now, I don't really know what they're going to do. And I think that's kind of exciting in a way that we don't really know like what kind of this is going to look for, that it won't just be this like small circle of influence that we'll get in these this coaching job. So that's kind of exciting.
Absolutely. Ricky, you got anything else here?
No, not really. Just, you know, advocate for yourself, Arturis, because if you don't, we will be writing that you should be fired, you know,
soon.
Right away. Like, this fan base is very hungry for a winner, and they're very sick of the bullshit. There's been way too much bullshit. So whatever Karnishevis does, I'll say, like, you know, do not bend to Michael Reinsdorf. Make him bend to you.
Yes. He has, he has to realize he has a mandate by that he was hired in the first place. That it's so extraordinary that the Bulls have someone in charge over, you know, longer than 16, however long Paxson was in charge and Gar Foreman was in charge. They were here for decades. I mean, the fact that someone new was brought in, that's like a mandate that you could do what you want. Because, I mean, the only reason he was brought in the first place was due to these extreme, extraordinary circumstances, which was this total disaster of a season where you got mocked at your own hosted All-Star game, and fans stopped going to the most popular ticket like in the league for years, even when they were bad. So Karnishevis needs to know, like, okay, I was hired because this thing is like screwed. This isn't like something I need to steady. I need to like keep it from sinking and turn it around.
Absolutely. Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Give a shout out to Bloggable here for us and where
go to bloggable.com. Yes, we were on the Fire Karnishevis beat. We were the first on that. And we will go forward on this coaching hire, and we'll see what they do. We will not be taking him at his word, and we will not trust he knows what he's doing. I don't trust he knows what he's doing. We'll have to see if he knows what he's doing based on who he hires. So look for that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us again. Pleasure as always. As always, from us here at Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast, thank you so much for listening. Shout out to Blue Wire. Shout out to all our great sponsors, TheraOne, NFL Sunday Ticket, Bet Online. For us at Cash Considerations, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your pods. Please let us know how we're doing. Give us feedback. What do you guys want to hear? You guys know where to find us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Ricky's at SB_Ricky. Also, go check out Ricky's great run with the Leathernecks. He's doing that back at SB Nation now. So I believe he's going deep into the tournament
right
now.
Sweet 16, baby. We punched our ticket tonight.
Yes. Nice. Yes. So go follow all that great stuff. We got the lottery coming up this week. That is Thursday. The Bulls, again, have a seven, are in the number seven spot. Maybe we'll actually get lucky this time. I'm just guessing we're going to stay at number seven fucking again, but that is coming up this week. Me and Ricky, I believe we will be talking to you guys. We'll do some quick lottery reaction after that. So that'll be fun. Hopefully, we'll knock out maybe. We'll see who they bring, who our lottery guy will be. Maybe they'll bring some good luck. But that's all. That's all this week. Thanks again for Matt, your friendly Bulls blogger from Blogable, coming on. From Jason, Ricky, this has been Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Jim Boylan is fired. It's been a great weekend. Take it easy, guys. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action. There's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry to see what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit BetOnline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. And remember to use that promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, online wagering experts.